Today, I want to share with you a conversion story. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. You know, every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What am I saying here? I'm saying that you can't know Jesus like you would know the President of the United States. You can recognize his voice when you hear it on the radio or TV. You can pick his picture out of a crowd. But have you ever had dinner with the President? Have you ever had an overnight in the White House? No. You have to know Jesus Christ better than that. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to know him as your best friend. You have to know him as somebody who dwells, because he said he and his Father will come and make their home in us. That's the way you need to know Jesus Christ. Then miracles start happening. Big miracles, little miracles. And that's what I talk about every Friday on this program. On Joyful Reflections, on Friday this year, I'm talking about the power of Good Friday, the grace that comes with it. And as I said at the beginning of the program, I have a conversion story with you that makes this point powerfully. And it's written by Sister Helen P. Morosla. Here's what she writes. He was in the first third grade class I taught at St. Mary's School in Morris, Minnesota. All 34 of my students were very dear to me, but Mark Eklund was one in a million. Very neat in appearance. He had that happy-to-be-alive attitude that made even his occasional mischievous delightful. Mark also talked incessantly. I had to remind him again and again that talking without permission was not acceptable. What impressed me so much, though, was his sincere response every time I had to correct him for misbehaving. "Thank you for correcting me, sister." I didn't know what to make of it at first, but before long I became accustomed to hearing it many times a day. One morning my patience was growing thin when Mark talked once too often, and then I made a novice teacher's mistake. I looked at Mark and said, "If you say one more word, I'm going to tape your mouth shut." It wasn't 10 seconds later when Chuck blurted out, "Mark's talking again." I hadn't asked any of the students to help me watch Mark, but since I had stated the punishment in front of the class, I had to act on it. I remember the scene as if it had occurred this morning. I walked to my desk very deliberately, opened the drawer, and took out a roll of masking tape. Without saying a word, I proceeded to Mark's desk, tore off two pieces of tape, and made a big X with him over his mouth. I then returned to the front of the room. As I glanced at Mark to see how he was doing, he winked at me. That did it. I started laughing. The class cheered as I walked back to Mark's desk, removed the tape, and shrugged my shoulders. His first words were, "Thank you for correcting me, sister." At the end of the year, I was asked to teach junior high math. The years flew by, and before I knew it, Mark was in my classroom again. He was more handsome than ever and just as polite. Since he had to listen carefully to my instruction in the new math, he did not talk as much in ninth grade as he had in third. One Friday, things just didn't feel right. We had worked hard on a new concept all week, and I sensed that the students were growing frustrated with themselves and edgy with one another. I had to stop this crankiness before it got out of hand. So I asked him to list the names of the other students in the room on two sheets of paper, leaving a space between each name. Then I told him to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. It took the remainder of the class period to finish the assignment, and as the students left the room, each one handed me the papers. "Charlie Smile," Mark said, "thank you for teaching me, sister. Have a good weekend." That Saturday, I wrote down the name of each student on a separate sheet of paper, and I listed what everyone else had said about that individual. On Monday, I gave each student his or her list. Before long, the entire class was smiling. "Really?" I heard whispered. "I never knew that meant anything to anyone. I didn't know others liked me so much." No one ever mentioned those papers in class again. I never knew if they discussed them after class or with their parents, but it didn't matter. The exercise had accomplished its purpose. The students were happy with themselves and with one another again. That group of students moved on. Several years later, after I returned from vacation, my parents met me at the airport. As we were driving home, Mother asked the usual questions about the trip, the weather, my experiences in general. There was a slight lull in the conversation. Mother gave Dad a sideways glance and simply said, "Dad?" My father cleared his throat as he usually did before something important. "The Eklunds called last night," he began. "Really?" I said. "I haven't heard from them in years. I wonder how Mark is." Dad responded quietly, "Mark was killed in Vietnam," he said. "The funeral is tomorrow, and his parents would like it if you could attend." To this day, I can still point to the exact spot on I-494 where Dad told me about Mark. I had never seen a serviceman in a military coffin before. Mark looked so handsome, so mature. All I could think at that moment was, "Mark, I would give all the masking tape in the world if you would only talk to me." The church was packed with Mark's friends. Chuck's sister sang the battle hymn of the Republic. Why did it have to rain on the day of the funeral? It was difficult enough at the graveside. The pastor said the usual prayers, and the bugler played taps. One by one, those who loved Mark took a last walk by the coffin and sprinkled it with holy water. I was the last one to bless the coffin. As I stood there, one of the soldiers who had acted as pallbearer came up to me. "Were you Mark's math teacher?" he asked. I nodded as I continued to stare at the coffin. "Mark talked about you a lot," he said. After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates headed to Chuck's farmhouse for lunch. Mark's mother and father were there, obviously waiting for me. "We want to show you something," his father said, taking a wallet out of his pocket. "They found this on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it." Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had obviously been taped, folded, and refolded many times. I knew without looking at the papers were the ones on which I had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you so much for doing that," Mark's mother said. "As you can see, Mark treasured it." Mark's classmates started to gather around us. Charlie smiled rather sheepishly and said, "I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk at home." Chuck's wife said, "Chuck asked me to put his in our wedding album." "I have mine too," Marilyn said. "It's in my diary." Then Vicky, another classmate, reached in her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. "I carry this with me at all times," Vicky said without batting an eyelash. "I think we have all saved our list." That's when I finally sat down and cried. I cried for Mark and for all his friends who would never see him again. End of the story. Pretty touching, isn't it? Whoa! Got through that without crying. Well, what can I say, huh? I said on Fridays when we talk about TGIF, thank God it's Friday, that there's little miracles that happen. You know, God works through human instrumentality most of the time. God worked through this sister when she got them to write nice things about themselves. You know how cruel kids can be in school. You got to really, they move into junior high, that's when the cruelness seems to really surface. You got to work on them. You got to work on them so they are not cruel to each other. I think sometimes their approach in junior high is their body's changing, their emotions are changing. I think their game plan is the best defense is a good offense. So they keep on picking on each other. And they look for the kid, he or she, who is kind of fragile, the kid who doesn't have a good sense of humor, the kid who is on the fringe of the group, and they're like sharks circling, looking for the weak person, the vulnerable one. And then the attack, the verbal attack. And it can be very, very painful. I've been a priest long enough to tell you, I know of kids who were just scarred by that. So what this sister did in this story, getting them to say something nice about each other, about every kid in the classroom, was a stroke of genius on her part. Or maybe instead of calling it a stroke of genius, we could say it was the movement of God. The movement of God to get her, at that time, to do something that would last a lifetime in her students. And for Mark, it was a short life, wasn't it? Dying in Vietnam. But the other students still had him with them. You know, usually you throw stuff away after so long. Look how many of them kept it. Powerful, no? Powerful story. Listen, it's Friday. Do something by the power of Jesus Christ right now. Do something good for yourself by prayer, meditation. Do something for somebody else. Give a compliment, okay? You know, sometimes we're really short on compliments. Go out of your way to compliment somebody today. Make it real, sincere. Do it, okay? Don't be embarrassed. You never know, perhaps, the difference your compliment might make in that person's life. Today's food for thought comes from a man named George Christoph Lichtenberg. He writes, "It often takes more courage to change one's opinion than to stick to it." Isn't that true? Some people, they will not give in on their opinion, even though it becomes obvious to them that they're wrong. They just won't do it. How wrong. How prideful. How insecure. Okay, who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who have muscular dystrophy. Well, that's a terrible disease, isn't it? You just become slowly paralyzed by it. You just can't use your muscles right. Very hard on people. Dear God, join me in praying now. Dear God, bless people who have muscular dystrophy. Give them a consolation. Let technology, let the medical expertise, let the giftedness, the brilliantness of people come up with ways of helping those with muscular dystrophy. And those who suffer from it, give them your peace, Jesus. Give them your joy and send little angels into their life. Amen. Okay, now today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. These two mothers are talking, right? The one mother says to the other, "I'm going to try something new with the dog and kids this summer." The other mother asks, "What's that?" "Well," she said, "I'm sending the dog to camp and the kids to obedience school." Clever. Want to contact me? Here's how you can contact me. Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you to do. And I know you're busy, but I want you to contact me and, one, let me know you listen to the program, what you like about the program. Does the program actually help you? And, yeah, if you want to comment on some of my jokes, which are corny at times, you can comment. You can write me a letter, send me a postcard, email me. I'd love to hear from you folks. It makes a big difference in my life when I hear from the people. You can send me your prayer intentions, and I will storm heaven with you and for you. You can send me a check from my hospital for the very poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make the check out to TASH, Tash, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And you can visit my website. That's where you can get my email address. My website is Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.